Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Hello this evening, folks, everybody out there. Lisa, are you there with me?
I'm here.
Hi, Lee. It is so good to have you back. I missed you last week. I'm so glad.
I am so sorry. That was the worst.
Oh, hey, you know, no biggie, it happens.
I'll tell you what,
sorry,
you know.
I'm feeling so awful.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, I don't know whether it was the grandchild drove me into the ground or just myself, but it was bad. I was oblivious. We'll leave it at that. But I did manage to listen to the show, and it seems like you guys had a great time at Horn and Honey.
Oh, we did. We really did. What a great facility, great people. Talk about a really hardworking, dedicated staff. Lee, these people were right on the page with what we used to do. I mean, you know, they were working 24/7, and they had somebody in all the right places. I mean, there were some things that could have been better, but they're very young at doing stuff at this facility. So I actually have some suggestions, and the next time I get to talk to one of them, I will probably float them past them, and then they can hate me.
But that's,
you know,
awesome. That's so awesome. It's great to see that there are, unfortunately it's so far away, but there are people out there who are still, you know, manning the torch.
Yes, and they really are creating a wonderful community out there. They're so lucky to have that in that area. Yeah.
And you know, there's so many great places. There's great places out in the Midwest, you know, a lot of open space, and, you know, it's just getting so much harder here on the East Coast to, you know, find places where you can work, you know, work your magic, if you will. You know, around here, everything is so government controlled and, you know, or group controlled, or dare I say Christian controlled, that it's hard to just find that place.
Well,
where
they were really smart about it. They, I guess, must have been looking at foreclosures and stuff like that, and they found an abandoned quarry that had basically been abandoned for years and years and years, and it was like the local town vacant land where people would go, and they would set up shooting ranges, and they would dump their garbage that they didn't want to have to take to the dump, and, you know, he said it was a mess when they got in there. And because it was it's an abandoned quarry, there's this whole area where there's... they were, you know, quarrying this sandstone out so that it's like a flat floor in almost like a little canyon that has this huge stone wall that's like a horseshoe that goes around this one part of the field.
Right.
And it's really cool. It's
nice. And it's natural, which is great. You know what I mean? It's like it was carved out for them, just waiting for them to come.
It was, and they did a lot of work to clean it up, and they still have a little ways to go, but my gosh, it's beautiful. And they trucked a couple of tons of sand in to put down in the quarry so it would facilitate drainage and, you know, be a little easier to walk on, and
mm-hmm.
they've done a lot of work.
Well, that's just freaking awesome.
It was.
Maybe one of these days I'll get to go out there with you.
After the knees.
After the knees.
After the knees.
Yes. Well, one knee this year. But who knows? Mm-hmm. One knee might be enough.
Yeah,
to,
that's true.
You know, to be able to start doing stuff again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Which will be fantastic. But how was your week?
My week was pretty excellent.
Awesome, awesome.
Except for being
sick. I know you didn't have all the little ones underfoot from the neighborhood.
Yes. The boys are visiting family
over here by me
for 2 weeks. Yeah. Actually, they're in like the Parsippany area. They're up north.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
But,
yes. A little bit north, but still in my state.
Mhm. Yep.
And it looks like they're having a good time too.
Yeah. Yeah. From her pictures on the internet.
Which
been doing. They've been shopping and going to the beach and doing stuff. So
and sleeping for 14 hours. How come that doesn't happen when they're at your house?
Because he's not at the beach all day. That's why.
So very true.
So how was your week?
I had the baby for 4 out of 7. So I have to say it's been really fun because, you know, I don't get to see her, you know, every day like her other grandma does. And it's gotten to the point now where when she sees me, she's happy to see me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
You know, which is a good feeling. And she's just getting so talkative, and she's great with anything that starts with a B.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just so funny. Every time she walks into a room, even if she was just there, it's hi. Hi. And then every time she leaves, it's bye-bye. And even if she's just going, like, you know, towards the front door, she says goodbye every time.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
And she has the head shaking for no down pat.
Ah, well,
which,
that's important.
Which it's good because I never, you know, I said this to you in text message earlier in the week. I don't know how I ever had 3 children and they all lived. through toddlerdom.
Cocaine, I don't know.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. It was the 80s.
Puppy uppers? It was something. But, no, I just mean it's like, you know, how do you cook with a baby holding onto your leg? I don't remember how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hysterical because she's just, first of all, she's constantly going, which is great. And she really does entertain herself 99% of the time until you're not in the room. And then whoever leaves the room, she wants to be wherever they went. And it doesn't matter if she's sitting on the floor having a great time with you. If somebody gets up and leaves the room, it's they might be doing something better, so I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a joy. It really is. It's great. But I don't remember how I kept a young one busy. I mean, I figured it out that when Sammy came along, Adam was already almost 3.
Mm-hmm.
So she was happy to sit and watch him do whatever he was doing. But what did I do with him until he had – what was I doing with him through the ones and twos? Because I know I cooked dinner. I know I cleaned my house.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know when and how I did it. But she's just too funny, and she's just talking and babbling. And I bought her this toy when she first started coming to the house more often. And she didn't know what to do with it. She just ate it. And now I see her trying to match up the purple square that goes in the purple thing in the barn. And I see her actually, like, her little brain working. And it's so amazing. Because, you know, when they get into high school, they don't use their brain anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Because they think they know everything now.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot what it was like when they were really interested in learning stuff. But mm-hmm. so it was busy, and it was a little painful, but it was great, and I'm happy for it. And just anybody out there who wants to throw a little good magic, they're closing on their house on Wednesday.
Okay,
so
cool. I will Definitely, you know, throw that out there.
Fingers crossed, throw it out there that they have an easy move, because they are still working while they're moving and taking care of the baby and taking her to the sitter and trying to move into their new house. So they're definitely going to need some good juju sent their way.
Hmm.
And under the scheme of things, I think that falls into the category of sympathetic magic. When you do things for other people.
Yes, there you go.
Or active magic. I don't know. I found this website when we talked today about what we were going to do tonight, and we talked about different kinds of magic. And I found this website that listed all kinds of magics that I never even thought they were a category. But I guess, you know, they can be categories. You know, it's not just one kind or the other. There's lots. I mean, I always knew there was black and white and gray and all of that, but, like, I didn't know that there was a differential between personal magic or active magic or passive magic or ceremonial magic or natural magic or, like, I had no... Contagious magic. Imitative magic. Sympathetic magic, also known as image magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really thought it only formed into, like, two categories. Doing a good thing or doing a bad thing or doing something that you never know if you should be doing it or not.
Yeah, there's... oh, my gosh, I didn't see this today. Omar Sharif died. Oh,
yeah. 80-something, I think.
Yeah, Omar Sharif, Lawrence of Arabia. Oh, well. Yeah, there's lots of different types of magic, and they all sort of zone in on different things and different traditions of how to do things, but generally all magic boils down, in my opinion, and I'm always going to say in my opinion, to a type of stylized prayer. And I know that people get really wound up about it because they say, well, you know, ritual's not prayer. Well, it's how we pray. I'm not saying that you're going to get down on your knees, bend your head and close your eyes and, you know, put your hands together in front of your chest. No, that's not how we do it. But that is
right.
Their ritual. That is their ritual.
Right.
And should be looked at that way. That is their ritual pose. I mean, that's traditional. Going back, like, as far as, like, the Mayans used to have different poses that they would strike in order to pray to their gods in a specific way for a specific thing. And in a lot of ways, yoga is associated to that as well, by bringing that particular spiritual energy in by being in a specific pose. You know, getting on your knees and genuflecting and, you know, striking the pose to pray in the way we think of it in our churches is just another form of that. Even though no Christian or Catholic would probably acknowledge that, but
well,
my opinion,
but
it is.
You know what? I have used that as an example. I've used the idea that what a lot of Christian people, when I speak to them, and they're like, well, you know, you do spells and, you know, you have these rituals outside and blah, blah. I said, well, you have your rituals in a building.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you have, you know, look, how does the math go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Peace be with you and also with you. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. I mean, it's all, what do we hug each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or we, you know, you have communion, we have cakes and ale, we do it at the end, you do it at the end. You know what I mean? They do it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The prayers are different, the songs are different, but the religion is different. So it's no different. And when people say, yeah, well, you know, spells and magic, I said, you do it every birthday. One of the first spells everybody learns is to blow out your birthday candle and make a wish.
Absolutely.
And it has all the necessary things. You know, your intent, your wish, fire, air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send your wish out into the cosmos, hoping that it will, you know, get to the place it needs to get to so you get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different. And people look at you and they go, oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all the same. It's all
mm-hmm.
semantics.
Yep. And there are all these ceremonial magicians out there going, no.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? And then you know what I did? I found the site that said it's from paganwiccan.about.com, and it's I believe a lot of it is by Patty Wigington. She's a pagan Wiccan expert. I see her picture, and I've seen it before on other things, both on Facebook and on the internet. And it said that ceremonial magic is generally defined as magic in which the practitioner uses specific rituals, invocations to call upon the spirit world. Now, that says church to me right there. Not just because you use specific rituals and invocations to call upon that which has passed. So they also say it's also known as high magic. And it does say here, in her opinion, that at its base is a blend of older occult teachings, Thelema, Enochian magic, Kabbalah magic, and other various philosophies are typically incorporated. Now, occult here might not necessarily be used as the occult where most people think the occult is Satan, blah, blah, blah. It could just be considered things that are not Judeo-Christian. And then it says that ceremonial magic differs from natural magic, or also known as low magic. Natural magic is the practice of magic in accordance with the natural world, herbalism, kitchen witchery, that kind of stuff, while ceremonial magic involves the invoking and control of spirits and other entities. And it does say there's much more to this, and you should look into each thing as, you know, as it suits you. But she says that the main purpose of performing high magic is to bring the practitioner closer to the divine, as opposed to using your own magic, because magic is simply the use of energy, and it's available to all of us and in nature, and anyone can do it. So I guess what we were talking about earlier about what the difference is I guess if you're just going to rely on your own power, per se, as opposed to asking for the goddess and drawing her down and having her work through you, or the god, for that matter, not to be singular, would be, I guess, what they're considering more ceremonial.
Well,
and
ceremonial,
I mean, this is just
magicians
what I'm
also
reading, so.
Work with more. How can I put this? More traditional icons, such as the Seal of Solomon. You know, where you and I might say, well, I'm going to make my own sigil. They would never do that. They would want to use this you know, Seal of Solomon because, in their opinion, you know, millions of people have been using it down through history. It's ancient. It's you know, well-used. It's well-known. And everybody knows it works, and everybody believes it works. And so I'm going to use that seal so that I can tap into all that energy that's been thrown at it in the past.
Right.
And it's going to be
now,
more powerful than one I can make up myself.
Now, something it also said is ceremonial magic is far harder to find out about, and there's less information.
That. You got the OTO and the ATA.
Well, I just mean,
and,
you know
there are a lot of
because,
groups that...
Right, but a lot of it is secretive within the group.
Yeah, you just have to seek out a group and join them. And then there are some
But just someone like me who's just going out there and wants to know what it's all about.
Oh, I've
isn't
got a bunch
going
of books
reach...
by Crowley you can read if you want.
I have one too. No, but I was thinking of our old friend Mikey, and you know, a lot of the practices that his Welsh coven did were very private.
Yes, they were,
you know,
very private. They were not
going back to the going back to the old days, so it's a lot harder sometimes because it says one of the things they said was secrecy is very often the formula for ceremonial magicians because they don't want that magic or those sigils, like you said, used indiscriminately. They don't want the virtue to go out of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And by doing, you know, like I said this morning, I am the kind of person who somebody calls me up and says, oh my gosh, I'm going to the doctor and I'm so worried and he thinks he might have found something and I mean, can you do some healing for me? Can you do something, you know? And I don't have, especially having the baby all these last couple of weeks, I don't have the time to sit down and investigate a cancer scare and what herbs go there. I pick the ones that speak to me. I throw them in the box. I shake it up. I do my thing. I get a stone, one that's green, because green to me is a good healing thing, you know, maybe a blue one, and, you know, run and meet them on the parkway and hand it off and put my little, you know, pinnacle on the box and put my little, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine chant and hand it to them. You know, is that so much less
than... You know, in their eyes...
Probably.
In their eyes it is. Yeah, because it's, you know, although you're channeling all your own energy, you're not really taking all the steps that they would normally take. You know, right
but
down
in
to...
Your, in you, as my favorite person on the planet, in your eyes...
No, I'm not.
you are my favorite person on the planet.
Oh, well,
in you're
I
welcome.
I didn't know that. I thought you maybe
are.
Ron would be ahead of me, but that's...
Some days, when he's cleaning my whole house for me and I'm investigating something for something or one, or I'm sewing and I just can't seem to get away from it and the garbage is piled up, then he's my favorite person. But you know, it. Any magic, if you know how I doubt myself so tremendously half the time, but any magic I've ever done that I have gone the step-by-step, made myself nauseous, got a fever, sore, and pink eye because I was trying so hard to be so perfect,
mm-hmm.
has rarely worked.
Yeah.
And the stuff I throw together with all my good intentions
mm-hmm.
has always worked.
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, the difference there is that when you have all your good intentions and you know it's all for the good, it's all for the good, and you don't have to fret about, you know, if I don't do this exactly perfectly, then it
right.
might not work. So you don't have any fear, no fear, no doubt, and that's why it always works so well.
Okay.
But for some people, they need that feeling of staid tradition, control, you know, I'm going to do it exactly by the book so that I know that it's going to work. And they need that.
And you
so
know what the horrible thing is?
It's the difference
when I
between
hear
people who go to the dentist
I right.
want to know everything the dentist is going to do step by step before they do it. And people who just are like, nah, just give me the Novocaine and let's get this thing over with.
That's me. Don't
yeah.
tell me nothing. Just
mm-hmm.
do whatever you're going to do. Just do it. Don't tell me about it. Just get her done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
and
I'm that way about all...
I've been a dental assistant for so long, I can
yeah.
tell you that there are people who make you stop and tell them everything that you're about to do.
What is that tool? Why are you using
yeah.
that tool? What's in that vial?
Yeah.
What is that thing?
Exactly.
Oh, God, no. Don't
yeah.
tell me, because then I'm just going to think of, like, you know, the torture chamber, and I'm going to be done.
Well, that's the thing. They want to know, is this, and that's always, the, and is this going to hurt? No. Are you sure? Yeah, we're fine. We're just going to, you know, he's just going to count your teeth with the Explorer. That's all he's going to do. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I guess maybe it's just that's because the kind of person I am, because when I think of all the stuff I tried to do in the past, it's like, that's why I stopped going to church.
Mm.
You know, all of that control and all of that you have to do it my way. For me, it's too much for me. Mm. I don't mind being a part of it. I love going to the fancy ceremonies and rituals that are done and that are big and flashy and you know, tools and wands and things and... You know, it's beautiful to go and watch.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's so much harder to get where I need to get when I'm worrying about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what about you?
Well, I fall somewhere in the middle. I think there's a good way to do things. I think that there's an outline, you know, that you should sort of hit.
Mm-hmm.
Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I'm pretty happy if, as long as I hit my outline and I hit that order in which it's being done, that I can plunk any components in there.
Okay.
But I generally tend to shoot from the hip, use what I have, use what I know. I don't get too crazed. I've actually found that the more you trust the divine that it's going to make it happen,
mm-hmm.
and the less you jump up and down, and create stress for yourself, like, oh, my God, I don't have, you know, an amethyst. Oh, my God.
That'd be me.
It's not going to work if I don't have an amethyst. You know, the less of that you do, the more, the better. So.
Right. Right.
You know me, I'm...
Well, I think everybody has a bit of an outline. I mean, you want to have a sacred space
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to just be throwing things out there willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's ever a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I...
to create... But like you had said to me when I was doing the last ritual that I did here at the house, and I said, I'm on uneven ground. I don't know if I can walk the circle three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I come up with another solution? And we came up with another solution,
mm-hmm.
and it worked great,
mm-hmm.
and I could feel it working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with only two other people who had ever been in circle out of the 10 people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
They'd never been in a circle before.
Right.
And we still, between the three of us, you know, dividing up the circle so that we were enough apart from each other, we were still able to create that feeling of sacred space.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I'm definitely a use what I have, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, there you have to bring it up and you have to bring it down. That's the way I kind of look at it.
Yep.
You know,
well,
bring up the circle, bring in the elements, bring in the ancestors, bring in the god and goddess, because, I mean, without them, what is it? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's me drawing circles on the ground.
Yeah. Well, do you remember at the hand fasting when Terry
mm-hmm.
and I cast circle with the sword?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to walk around the circle carrying that sword. That just didn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah,
you know,
well, and there was children and, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there were kids around, and frankly, I don't know if I
was
having to carry it that way, yeah, around the circle three times. So we just he stood behind me, helped me hold the sword, and you know, we stood in place and went around the circle in one place and rotated
right.
three times. So there are always ways to modify whatever it is you're going to do in order to make it work in every situation.
Right.
So.
And I know we've had to do lots of that. Over the years.
Yeah, we've done everything from rituals where nobody spoke
mm-hmm.
because there were so many people that spoken word would have been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, did almost like a passion play for the ritual so that people understood what was happening, but
right.
it was all enacted and
mm-hmm.
Through symbolism and we did have some music that played at one point, but and that was it. And actually, to this day, I still have people coming up who were at that ritual and say to me, that was such a great ritual.
It was
universally available. Nobody had to know anything
right.
special to participate.
Right.
Wasn't going to be asked any words. They were going to, oh, my God, no chance I have to remember. Oh,
right.
you know. And I really think...
I don't know that one. And
Yeah, and I really think when you take a lot of that stuff away and you strip away all those little anxieties, it just makes people so much more comfortable in a large ritual like that. And
so we're more... I'm definitely more of a natural witch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a kitchen witch, so...
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah.
So that
but
falls
I'm,
right into there.
I tend toward using the stuff I've got. Now, for me,
right.
magic in general falls into two main categories. Sympathetic type magic. This is the kind of magic that I'm going to do something to symbolize what it is that I want to have done in a grander scale.
Like poppets or corn
exactly.
husks or that
right.
kind of
and,
stuff. Okay.
Right. And the great rite is that, too. It's a symbol in symbolizing, you know, this magical union of the god and goddess. So that's... the basis
mm-hmm.
of sympathetic magic.
Also known as image magic, which obviously,
right.
because you create an image.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And like you said, poppets are based on that. There's a whole array, of magics that are done in that sort of Jungian sympathetic magic. And then there's energetic magic, where you're actually manipulating energies. But it is right at about 10:30 right now. So I'm being given the high sign.
Oh, and yes, and you know what? Speaking of, you know, casting circles and all that good stuff, tonight's song is one of my absolute favorite songs from Music for the Goddess,
mm-hmm.
Round and Round.
Excellent. Thanks.
We've danced to this one a lot.
Many times. Yes, many, many times.
See you in a few.
Yep.
We'll be right back. There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
And hello, we are back. We were talking before the break about sympathetic magic, and you know, we talked about that. Sympathetic magic is anything in which you use to symbolize what you want to achieve. So if you want someone to stop saying bad things about you, gossiping about you, for example, at work, maybe. You know, maybe write their name on a piece of paper and some of the things they've said about you or that you don't want them to say about you, and put it in the freezer or burn that piece of paper or, you know, whatever. Put it on a boat and ship it to China. Put it in a UPS box and ship it to China. So that's what I mean when I say sympathetic magic. Now, the other kind of magic is energetic magic, and somebody in the chat room had asked while we were at break,
I know, I'm having a hard time following the chat room tonight, too.
Yeah. Let's see, what'd she say?
Was it the thing about being a sympathetic practitioner?
Yeah, she said, does that make me a sympathetic practitioner? If that's the only kind of magic you practice exclusively. Now, most of us also raise energy. So when we're in circle and we are learning to, you know, we're raising energy together, that is actual energetic manipulation. That is taking energy from around us, the chi, if you will, that connects all living things, and taking it and programming it with our will and our desire and sending it back out. Now, I am of the opinion, and people will vary on this opinion, that when we do that, we're actually creating an entity with consciousness and telling it, here's what we'd like you to go do, okay? And so now we're releasing that entity, and when it achieves its message or you know, when it delivers its message or it achieves its goal, it dissipates. Its mission is done, and it automatically goes away. There are people who will argue that point with me, and they can argue it all they like, but that's how I feel. And I'm working from experience. And usually, those energetic, that gathered energy that we have programmed for our working, with our desire, with our will, will usually take the form of one or some combination thereof elementals. That has been my experience. Whichever, for some reason, let's say you want to deliver a message about, I hope their house sale goes smoothly. Mm-hmm. So that might be air, because air is the communicator. So air is going to lend its energy to that, and it's going to help you. And it's part of the reason, in my opinion, why we call the elementals to the circle. It's not only just to be there as our protectors, but also for them to say, oh, I'm going to get in on that. And mm-hmm. that's part of my job. And so they're all lending their little bit, but you know, if you're going to send a message to somebody, air is going to be the deliverer of that message. And that's part of the reason that they are there in circles.
Now, I have a question about mm-hmm. white, black, and gray.
No such
magic.
Thing, but go ahead.
Well, no. Now, I know that if you're doing something for yourself, there's nothing black about it. It's all about you. It's all about what mm-hmm. you need or you're looking to get for you when it doesn't involve someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that wishing harm on someone is obviously what one would consider as black. Now,
Nestle,
if you are doing...
I don't agree at all with that concept, because let's take a look at nature for a second, and I have posed this to you before.
Okay.
Is the lion evil for killing the zebra?
No.
The zebra might think that the lions are evil, but the zebra's pride thinks that that lioness who brings home that zebra is
freaking
the best
awesome.
Thing since, yeah, since sliced
right.
bread.
But
so
what
it's
I mean
all
is,
a matter of perception.
You know, okay, you've got a child, I've got children. Most of the people that I see in the chat room right now that I know have children.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a child who's being mean to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to protect your child. Now, this happened to me when Adam was little.
Mm-hmm.
So my first thought was, I'm going to kill that kid. Not literally, but,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking up protection spells, and a lot of them were doing protection for your own person or the one you love or whatever at the expense of someone else. In other words, if this person does something mean to me, then I hope they break their arm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's kind of bad. You wish something like that on someone, and it's going to come back to you threefold, if in fact that's what you believe, which is what I believe, which you could end up doing more harm than good. So my question that I was trying to get to was,
mm-hmm.
if you know that someone is ill, okay, and they have not actually come to you and said, could you do something for me or send me good vibes or help me out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you take it upon yourself to do that for them. Would that be a gray area because they haven't asked for help and you're inflicting your energies on them?
One of the things I always do is ask people, hey, do you mind if I pray for you?
Well, of course, that's what we do.
And most
but
people are going to say, oh, yeah.
If you don't, are you then kind of crossing some kind of into gray line where you're taking it upon yourself to wish them good? Maybe they don't want
mm-hmm.
a happy ending. You know what I mean? And then again, you know, if you're in a situation where your loved one's being held hostage by somebody at gunpoint and you wish for the cops to shoot the guy, is that really bad because you're protecting
mm-hmm.
your loved one? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
again,
is that what you could think of as gray?
Right. And this is where I really have a problem with these labels of black, white, and gray. All magic is gray, because you are taking energy that's universally available to everybody and programming it for your will, for your purpose. So just that act, whether it's to heal Mother Earth or not, just that act of reaching out there, pulling down that energy and programming it and with your will, and let's face it, that's a selfish act right there.
Mm.
And sending it out.
Okay, I can buy that.
Magic is gray. Now, speaking to and from intent, if my intent by killing a chicken is to heal my child of some horrible disease, and I believe that killing that chicken is going to heal my child, I'm going to kill the chicken.
Well, of course.
And there's that goes to intent. Now, if I'm a recalcitrant, bored teenager, and I come across a chicken in somebody's front yard, and I decide to kill it because I'm bored and I'm obnoxious,
mm-hmm.
intent is different.
Right. So it's more of the intent that colors the magic
yes.
than the magic itself.
Yes, absolutely. So it's not the physical act of the magic, it is the intent. Am I killing this chicken
for the right reason?
Exactly. As a sacrifice and as an honored sacrifice, you know, given up to all my
a
gods
gift.
as a gift in exchange, as a life energy exchange for something that I am begging for, basically. Please heal my child.
Okay, now, in the scheme of all these things that we've talked about, where does sex magic fall into it? Because you know me, and you know that the minute you start adding sex and religion together, I immediately start thinking cult.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't... I am not... Well, first of all, I'm not married to a pagan person. Mm-hmm. So therefore, using sex in religion would never happen because we don't believe in the same things. So if I came up with this whole, you know, if I knew more about it and I came up with this whole, you know, raising sexual energy for whatever, it'd be completely one-sided because he'd be going along with it just because he was, you know, getting to have some.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be magic if you guys had some?
Thank you so much. I love you so much. Thank you. And yes, to all our listeners, I'm in menopause, okay? So thank you. Thank you, everyone, that you now know that I don't color very much at all. But my point is, you know, for me, it might be, I might be able to channel down some lovely, wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, being that the person that I'm doing it with is strictly just, you know,
Well, sex magic requires participation from both people. You really
Well, he would be participating, but not on the spiritual plane.
Sex magic basically is tantric. You know what tantric sex is. That's
yes,
where you
I
stave
do.
Off the climax till you're both at a certain point.
Fevered
and you feel
pitch,
that
and then it's like, whoa.
Yes, and enough of a... It's just building energy. It's really not much more than what you do standing in circle building energy, but now you're doing it with a partner, you know, alone or maybe not alone, physically.
Right.
Physically. magical edging, that's right. And you're doing it physically. And because it's part of that sacred union, you know, really all ecstatic states, whether they're shamanistic or, you know, the Catholics beating themselves with, you know, whips to reach there.
The scourge thing.
Yep. People using drugs, people using tobacco, people, all these sweats, you know, dehydration, holding one arm in the air for 25 years till it atrophies if you're, you know, some dude in India. All of these things are trying to find different paths to that ecstatic moment when two people are in bed together and they both reach climax at the same time, there's something
magical
in that moment. And so tantric sex or sex magic is really all about prolonging that moment because you're building that tension. You're stretching the rubber band, you know? You're stretching the rubber band, stretching the rubber band, stretching the rubber band, and when it finally gets to that maximum stretch, that's when you want to finally let it go, and that's going to be the most powerful snap. So that's really essentially what sex magic is. You're trying to pull that rubber band to its maximum, and when it snaps, it's going to snap and it's going to reverberate, and you're going to have, you know, that huge, you haven't thrown a pebble in the pond, you have thrown a frickin' boulder in the pond.
Okay, but
and it's going to cause
what does that have to do with something you might be doing ritual or magic for? And I don't mean to sound stupid.
No, it doesn't matter what you're going to do.
I understand.
Decide you're going to do sex magic because you want to make sure Adam and Kara get the house.
Really?
It doesn't have to be sexually related. I mean, it's just a method that you're going to use.
Of conjuring energy.
Knowing you, you'd probably much rather build a, you know, a 3D diagram of the house they want to buy.
Out of popsicle sticks.
Exactly.
And use colored water for the pool in the backyard.
Exactly.
Make a little poppet of Poopsie playing in her playroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that would be a Lee thing, you know.
That would be my what did we call that? My sympathetic magic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that what
absolutely.
We would call that?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's
you'd
true.
Wrap it up, you'd wrap it up in a box, and you know, and part of that, you know, in some cute little box, and you'd give it to them, and when they opened it, it would release all the magic that you put into that to make that happen, and so that's releasing.
So it's no different than when we were and I remember this because this was probably one of the first instances where I actually felt cumulative energy from a large group of people washing over me. Now, I say washing over me because I had by then learned how to not necessarily take it all in myself and have it come out the other side.
Right.
But this was the first time that I physically felt energy passing around a circle and building was when we went and did a circle on the beach up on, what was that, N Street?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the night they bombed Baghdad after 9/11.
Right.
And many of us all met on the beach.
Yeah.
And we were oming.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just sending, you know, good energy for the innocent and the soldiers and whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally had the feeling that was represented in the movie Practical Magic when that wall of energy came up around the circle in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, in my mind's eye, that's what it felt like. That would have been a physical representation of what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, sex magic is just doing that same thing of creating that same amount of energy, and then you just do it for a reason.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
See, I completely had a system of raising energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had a completely different idea of what it was.
So
we won't talk about it. We're not going to talk.
No, I want to know. What did you think it was?
I don't know. It goes back to the whole almighty vulva. You know what I'm saying? And I just, you know. I just can't. Not only that, but of course, Niv is freaking cracking up. Yeah. Okay, Donnelly. Now you want to know? We used to have this festival, and we used to had a lot of different kind of people, and there was one person there that, you know, did a lot of, I guess, sex magic. I guess. And he used to have his practitioners touch the high priestess's all holy vulva. And for me, that was just way over the top. Oh, she's saying, oh, baby, orgy time. Yeah, and I can dish with all 350 of our closest viewer friends. No, but, you know, and being A, that I have, of course, body issues, because seeing me naked is nothing anybody wants to do. But, you know, the idea that
Honey with women who were just as round and beautiful as you are, running around mostly naked most of the weekend.
But see, here's the funny thing. See, if I was running around prancing, it'd be great, but I'm limping along like a gimp, and I'm not sexually beautiful. So, come on. No, but anyway, I really, you know, having the whole coven come over and, you know, bestow a blessing on my womanhood, it's not something that I really would want to participate in. So when people talked about sex magic, this was the only thing that was in my head. Like, you know, all the members of the coven were going to, and it was just, hey, this is the person who was afraid to come out to your class because I thought everyone was going to be naked with robes on chanting. So, you know, I've learned a lot over the years, but some topics, you know, we did not, because of the structure in our groups, that you and I have been members of, A, most of the time that they were all women, and not by choice, but just because, or they were all married, or we were married, you know, to our respective people. And so sex magic was not something that, you know, we talked about in the group setting. So it wasn't something that I ever tangent off and experienced or looked into. I had so many more things to do just within the stuff that we did do within our groups. So it's something that I have always been a little bit sort of, yeah, okay. Terry must be peeing himself over there, isn't he? Yeah. I love you, Terry.
Oh, Donnelly, I love you. That's That's great.
A good energy, but
yeah.
I don't oil paint anymore either. So for those of you who don't know, when around young children, because Robin has had the youngest of our children in our group, and, you know, when us women are all together around a fire and we're all, you know, shooting the breeze and, you know, we want to talk about how's everybody's love life going, we talk about coloring. And we talk about, you know, have you been coloring lately? You know, I need a good color. You know, I need to color some good pictures and whatever. And then when 50 Shades of Grey... Yeah, well, I know you're going to. 5 minutes and you're going to be coloring, I know. But then when 50 Shades of Grey came out, we were like, well, that's not just coloring. No, that's oil painting.
I was just going to say, we're actually not going to be coloring. We're going to be oil painting later because he finally got to put together his Father's Day present.
Birthday gift, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ron almost stopped at the Tractor Supply to check that thing out because I didn't really get a good look at it. So
it's
I'm
awesome.
Like, I don't know what they're going to do with it or how they're going to do it, honey, but...
It's awesome.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, oil painting, coloring, you know, using all the crayons in the box,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, coloring in the lines, never coloring in the lines. You know, this was our way of speaking in front of our children when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's also a very nice way to discuss it on the radio. And plus, we're just silly like that.
Yeah, well, now you know.
Oh, Donna's going to color tomorrow afternoon. I think you should color all afternoon. Skip dinner, color right into the night. Color for me. Yeah, get out some oil paints and do it for me, too. Because
you're
going
to feel so much better.
I'm going to have the baby, so I'm not going to be coloring.
But you're going to feel so much better after the knee thing is over. I think
at least after the first part's over, because then I'll know the second time what to expect.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think
but let me do
a
little business real quick with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah,
I have
a litany.
Yeah, I have a litany of things here. Okay. If you liked our show tonight and you'd like to send some comments, or if you actually thought we were crazy, feel free to send us an email at cern.org@gmail.com. You can also friend us on Facebook at Spiritual Unity Radio Network and leave any comments there. You can also reach the radio station, or if any of your friends want to and they don't know how to get here and you forgot how you got here, you can get to us through Spiritual Unity Radio Network, allmushedtogether.org. Of course, there's the Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health Facebook page where Robin and I are always visible should you need us. You can reach Robin and Terry by email at littlestonebridge@gmail.com or the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook or both. That way you'll ensure that somebody sees what it is you'd like to say. And please, feel free to send any comments, positive, negative, because if we don't know what we're doing wrong, we can't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you like what you hear, we know we'll keep doing it. So please, feel free to send an email or a note. Anything you send to the radio station, I know will get forwarded down to us eventually. All right, I think that's all the business we needed to business do.
Okay.
And everybody go out and see Magic Mike and then go home and color. It's double XL this time. I can't wait.
Oh, boy.
I know, I can't wait.
Yes. You and I can go see it.
Yes, we'll take Sammy. Oh, no,
yeah,
we can't take Sammy. Then who's going to see with Persephone?
I was going to say we could maybe leave Perry with Roseanne. Roseanne's here in the chat room. Hey,
hey Roseanne. Roseanne, would you watch Persephone so we could go see Magic Mike? Just type yes or no. I'm watching the screen right now.
Next week. This coming week.
Next week sometime. We'll call you.
Yeah.
Either that or maybe we can get her sister.
There you go.
Yeah. Call her ahead of time. No, we just wanted you to know. What did mm-hmm. she say? I don't hear? She doesn't hear us? Ro, do we need to speak louder? No, I'm just kidding. she hears us. Okay. Anyway, so whatever your magic,
mm-hmm.
whatever kind of magic you do, I guess the bottom line is make sure you have a good intent and strong beliefs.
Yeah.
And have faith in yourself, because I know that whenever I have faith in myself, things work out a lot better. And I'm working on that. I'm working on it. Because I was just at a ritual recently where we had to throw away the things we didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw away all that self-doubt and BS. And
mm-hmm.
I'm doing better.
Good. I'm glad.
Now I don't think that people don't like me. Now I just don't care.
Oh, God. Oh, Lee, I love you. You're such a wonderful human. You really are. And you just are always kicking yourself in the anyway. I am.
I got a new shirt today, I got to tell you. Guess what it is? And I would have bought you one, but they were only in tent sizes. It is one half of the face on the T-shirt is Snow White, and the other half is the Evil Queen.
Wait, go back and say that again.
It's a tank top with a face on the front.
Uh-huh.
And the right half is Snow White, and the left half is the Evil Queen.
Oh, that's cool.
I know.
Oh,
Niv thinks I was weeding my garden. No, Niv, I took a pain pill. And this time I didn't fall asleep because I drank tea with the pain pill. So now I'm up and down and up and down.
Oh, please. I had this sinus infection all week that I had.
Oh, I know.
So I went to the doctor, and they gave me antibiotics.
Okay.
And then, of course, the quintessential prednisone. So I get home with my prednisone, and it's like, take 60 milligrams of prednisone today, 50 milligrams tomorrow, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10.
So you don't become a psychotic and hack up your kitchen.
Right. So then, of course, last night, after taking the 60 and the 50, I didn't sleep. I was up.
Oh, no.
I'm getting out of bed. I got to go do this. I'm lying in bed trying to go, no, I got to get up. I got to go do that. I got to, and I forgot my pill. I got to take my other pill, my antibiotic. Up and down, up and down, up and down. So finally, poor Terry, because every time I get out of bed, he's shifting and waking up and whatnot. And I finally go in the other bedroom to try to lie down and get some sleep. And I was just so restless. Did you ever just have one of those nights where you can't get comfortable and your legs are doing weird things and you need to stretch and my hip was killing me? And
you get, restless leg.
Yeah. And every time he moved, it irritated me. And then at one point, he was trying to snuggle. He's a real snuggler. He's trying to snuggle up against me. And he, moved his head and, head-butted me in the eyebrow bone. I was just like, you know what? I got to get out of here. I'm gonna flip out because I know it's the prednisone and it's not him. It's me.
Yep.
I know it's me. I'm going to go sleep in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning, though.
I hate that.
And then
that
I was
stuff.
Up at, yeah, and then I was up at like 8:30, And I'm not tired now. Can you tell?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that stuff is, it makes my skin crawl.
Oh, yeah. But
it's terrible, but
on its way out, so that's good.
All right. I know you sound a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really do sound a lot better, which is half the battle, You can still have the oogies in there or whatever it is that's, made you not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when you get the right combination of whatever, whether it's holistic, Eastern, Western, whatever it is, when you get the right thing together and it starts to work, it's just the joy of not feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I had this, I thought I had an ulcer. I spoke to you the other day thinking I had an ulcer. And it turned out that both Ron and I must have eaten something that just was kind of playing havoc. And it took a couple of days to work its way out. And just the one day when I didn't have the cramp was just like, I felt like I could climb a mountain.
Mm.
Just because that one little thing was better. So, glad to know I don't have an ulcer, too, because
that's a good thing.
Well, it's the traditional 11:03.
Yes, it is. It'll be 11:03, and we should probably start to wrap this up. And so, it was kind of billed as an Ask a Witch thing tonight, but we didn't really ask official questions. We just sort of went through...
Except my sex magic tirade.
I don't know if I'd call it a tirade, but...
We did not answer anybody's questions, right? I mean, nobody called in and was waiting in the chat room,
right, for us to talk?
Okay,
no.
Good.
Were there any questions about any of this stuff from the chat room? If you guys want to type something in, feel free.
Yeah, I didn't see any. Almost everybody, to be honest, let's face it, everybody here knows heck of a lot more than me, so...
Oh, that's not true.
Well, all right, on some things.
Hey, listen, if if I need how to do any kind of craft, you are the person I call.
Well, that's my thing, you know? That is my thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing it, too, because I haven't been able to work with the baby here. I haven't been able to work on my quilts, and I'm like, I'm really jonesing to sew something.
Well, I'm going to probably bring my crochet project with me so you can take a look at it and improve it. So, yeah.
And also, one last thing from our fearless leader. Don't forget that if you do have any follow-up questions about different types of magic, they can also be submitted to the cern.org@gmail.com, or feel free to Facebook them to either Robin or myself on spiritual wellness and physical health, because we'd be more than happy to you know, give you our 2 cents on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which will be awesome.
Yep.
Awesome, awesome. Any old hoo-ha. It's nice to see Niv is Niv today. I wanted to say that when I saw her name pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because that other person that's on Facebook, every time I see it, I go, who the hell? Oh, wait.
Who's Cherry?
Yeah, who's Cherry? I don't know anybody named Cherry. At first, I thought my Facebook got hacked because my Instagram got hacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought, what the hell? What is what? And, yeah, no. It was my Nivy. Cherry. Oh, Donna's laughing now. Cherry!
Yeah, it's really Cherie, but
I knew that's what
every
it
time
was.
I glance at it, I see Cherie. I'm like, what?
Oh no, I keep thinking Cher. And I mean that from if I could turn back time. You know, I was not thinking of I was not thinking of any other Cher out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah, no, I got
it's
that.
Cherie.
Mm-hmm. Cherie.
It's not Cherie, it's Cherie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a nun named Sister Cherie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the next comment. All right, we have to go.
Okay.
We have to go because, A, you have to go oil paint.
Yeah, I do.
And
he bought me sushi.
She's banging her head. She's banging her head.
I own some oil painting, yeah.
So. Oh, my God. Yeah, hey, if you can get down here in Jersey around the 27th of the month, Sam and I are going to one of those tipsy painting parties.
Oh, really?
Have you heard about tipsy painting?
No.
Okay. It's $30. You meet up at a local watering hole, bar, restaurant, whatever, and they set you up in the back room, and the artist comes in, and she's got all your canvas, all your paints, all your brushes, the easel, everything, and you step by step, everybody creates the same painting. And the way they have it broken down, everybody's painting looks good. Adam and Kara did it.
Hmm.
And so Sammy and I were thinking about doing it at the end of the month.
Oh, cool.
So
We'll talk. We'll
no big whoop.
Have some coffee. You
whatever.
Know,
who cares?
Go to the deli. We'll put butter on it. It'll be fine.
Oh my God, like butter. Oh
like
my
butter.
God, like butter. All right, I'm gonna say goodbye because if I don't say goodbye, we'll never say goodbye.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. You made the chat awesome tonight.
Yeah, everybody. Thanks for coming. We always love having you guys come and join us in the chat room. It's always so much fun, and. We hope to see you next week. And no, I have no idea what our topic's going to be yet for next week, but I'm working on trying to make sure that we know what we're going to be doing a few weeks in advance. I have to get my act together.
Oh, hey, and, even 2 days would be good.
Yeah. Well, I actually enlisted, enlisted an actual station manager assistant. So we actually have some help now to do this. So that's what we're working on. And
all right. Well, keep me posted.
Our illustrious Nivasi, our Cherie, is now the
Cherie
assistant station manager officially. And so I'd like to express my appreciation for Niv that she accepted. And
well, Niv, give us some topics. Come on. Get to work. What are you waiting for?
See, what you don't know is she's been doing that for Terry now for, a couple months with some of his questions. So
so what is that? That's on chopped liver? Oh, check my email, she says. I don't know where she emailed it to.
To my little stone bridge.
Oh, well, I don't get that email,
I'll forward it to you. So...
She's on the team, all right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, kids. It's been awesome.
Yep, I love you guys. And as always, I will end with my tagline, whatever you do during your week, spread the love.
Spread the love.
Spread
Good
the
night.
Love. Good night. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.